The problem with like life right now and our generation and culture is we have idolized this idea of individualistic purpose.
Yeah. Oh, it's a so really, tough. Really challenging thing, detaching your identity from what you do, especially when you receive your applause from it.
Purpose and destiny and change making and all of these things, they sound nice, but in order to live out that work, it requires... Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's conversation, we are going to be talking about purpose, dealing with your desires, surrendering your ideals, getting in alignment with God, this obsession with being change makers in the earth, and leaders.
At me next time. Just
you know,
Renee.
What? So that's actually why I was thinking about it, because I was like, we've been having this conversation like at home, just generally just like chatting. God's been dealing with me, then you're like, God's been dealing with me. It's just like, okay, cool. Like, let's actually talk about what's going on. Why our mind is changing around this idea and conceptualization of purpose and calling and what we are destined to do in the earth. As well as because we are ambitious people, we are ambitious women, looking at that concept of ambition and kind of thinking about how do we deal with it whilst we also manage, you know, the health of our soul and our mind.
An episode for me about and me too. Just me.
Yeah, you guys already know we're very vulnerable on this pod.
Yes, giving self awareness. Yes, 101. Yes,
of course. But that's how things change. But before we get into it, do we have any housekeeping announcements?
Aside from the fact that we are authors,
get our book.
That thing. And she's so pretty.
Yes,
I just feel like we need to plug our book more, because really we do want to change lives. I know that the topic at hand is about change making.
And
if you want to make a change in your life, you should buy a copy of our book and buy it for somebody else too. But yeah, we've been authors for a little while and it is our pride and joy, and we'd so appreciate you guys if you supported us. And thank you to everybody that has bought a book so far. Like, honestly, we've been getting such wonderful reviews. Like, I was not paid to sit well.
Absolutely, you were.
Wow. But in all truth, folks have been saying that it's actually been a great tool for their friendships, and for some people it's actually been transformative, and it was transformative for us in writing and creating it. So we'd very much appreciate if you support the sisterhood, support us, buy our book, buy it for a friend, share with somebody that would, you know, benefit from it. We'd love and appreciate you, and leave a review. Please, if you've bought a copy of the To My Sisters book, hop on over to amazon.co.uk.com, whatever is your territorial ending, web address ending, and just give us a review and let us know what you thought of it.
Yeah, man, our book is all about building lifelong friendships, leveraging the power of them to transform your entire life, and also becoming a good friend yourself. So if you're interested in stuff like that, please go and get yourself a copy.
Absolutely.
As Renee just said, I don't have anything else to add.
Aside from that, look, share this podcast thing. Okay?
Yeah, please share the episodes. God is clearly doing something. So let's get into the next segment. You guys already know the deal. It is a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Let go. Hey, sisters.
Hi.
First of all, I would like to say I love you guys so much. A friend suggested the podcast to me and I have never looked back since. You rock.
Love
about
you.
Seven
you rock.
Exclamation marks.
You rock.
My dilemma goes like this. I'm a first year student in Zimbabwe. To be honest, I have always been a bright and intelligent student all my life. And coming to uni, I thought...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It would be the same, but honestly, I am drowning.
Oh, yeah.
Things have been hectic. I even failed a course that I have to retake. My question to the sisters is how to deal with academic failure and feeling like you are not doing much, especially if you've always taken pride in your intelligence.
Yeah.
Thank you for your wisdom. With love, a confused sister.
I feel like everything just aligns perfectly, literally perfectly for me this episode. And I love that. At me, if you will. I would say universe, but Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
You know what's so funny? The other day I was editing a video of myself as well. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, because you know God. And I was like, just to let you know, I'm talking about the God of the Bible.
Because it can't be any. There is no other
clarification.
Words. We're going to have to start putting like links to what we're listening to. The CMS
gospel playlist.
Gospel playlist. That's what we need to, do. Anyways.
We actually do need to do that.
Our gospel favorites. Our sisters, comment below. What's your gospel favorites?
Yeah.
That's clearly a favorite.
What is your all-time like gospel song?
That's very difficult for me, but I can tell you one that I keep on coming back to is Goodness of God.
I was literally about to say Goodness of God, CC Winans. Thank you.
You did a as service. Soon as,
I love you. Oh, it gets me.
Take
it
me
gets
up. Me. It will take me up.
For your take mercy never fails me.
That will move me to tears any day of the week.
And all my life you have been faithful.
And I will listen to every version. Even the...
Have you heard the one with... Is it Carrie Underwood? I can't remember. But she has one where I will send it to you. It's so good.
I will listen to it with a rock beat in the back. I will listen to it with acoustics.
Every mix.
Anyway, sis, yes, let me come back to your dilemma. I feel very triggered by this dilemma because I was actually in your exact position in my first year of university. So I, you know... pulled up to Oxford and I was thinking, you know, as somebody that has been known for my academic achievement, that this was just going to continue to run. Lo and behold, with my first year, I drowned like a rat. Mm. Drowning. And I found myself not making any good progress. And it really did affect my self-esteem and happiness because I had been so accustomed to doing really well that seeing things like 2-2s and thirds, which is failure for people that are not accustomed to the UK system. Fail. On my essays was actually highly triggering and very discombobulating. The first thing that I would say is you definitely need to give yourself grace to grow.
Yeah.
It's always going to be uncomfortable being a beginner. There's something that Courtney actually told me a couple of days ago that is very relevant to this conversation. There will be multiple times in this life that you will be a beginner. And I think one of the most unfortunate things about our journey is we don't give ourselves grace to be a beginner.
Yeah.
So I think because you are so early on in your university journey, you are a beginner and it requires a different skill set and a different kind of deployment of knowledge that you may have built up in school before you've gotten to this place in your life. It just means that, you know, as somebody that is, you've got this raw intelligence, you have this raw skill set, it just means that it needs to be refined in a way that can be received by this current system that you're operating in. That's all it is. So I think it's really important to give yourself grace to be a beginner. You are starting afresh and it just has to be something that you need to work out. I know it's difficult to hear this, especially if you, like me, went through a period of your life where you were banging A's, baby. Mm-hmm. You were that smarty pants. Everyone came to you to help with their homework. They was asking you what you got. You said 99, I'm going to make it 100 tomorrow. I know that's really difficult to hear. I would also say, make sure that you find other ways to express yourself and identity. So really lean into the things that bring you joy. So for me, I actually ended my first year of university barely scraping a 2-1. Mm-hmm. Like I almost failed. It was quite discouraging. And I found myself doing the opposite of doubling down and constantly trying to refine my craft. I actually found myself dibble dabbling in so many other different things. I became ACS president. It was in my second year of university that I seriously gave my life to Christ. It was in my second year of university that I really focused on building my relationships. It was in my second year of university that I really found my voice and found myself outside of my academia. Experiment, get out there. There will of course be a period of your time that is dedicated and focused towards getting your degree, making sure that you are developing the skill set to do better, taking on board all of the comments from your tutors or your teachers or whatnot, even learning from other people around you that may be doing better than you. That's a humbling experience, but I promise you this is the way forward because they've definitely got the blueprint. There is that element of your kind of university educational experience, but in life, it's very important for you to make sure that you have other things that bring you joy and give you an idea of what your identity is outside of academia, because academia is also going to run out real quick. I don't know how long your course is, but you're going to get to the end of your course and eventually you're going to have to do something else in life, or you are going to find yourself at the beginning of yet another cycle in life. So really embrace the holistic endeavor that is life. What are the things that you enjoy outside of academia? What are the things that bring you joy? Who are the people in your life that it may be worth continuing to build and implement really like meaningful relationships for you? Really invest in those things. And I promise you that will really help you in disestablishing your identity in academia. And I think it's doubly hard, especially when everything that you have gone through in your life has reinforced that your life is all about academia, especially if you have like people around you, for example, that may have been reinforcing, oh, you're the intelligent one, etc. So it might even surprise them that you have failed. You might even be keeping it all. This might be one of the only admissions that you made that you failed, Sha. But I think it is important for you to find your identity, your personality and your purpose outside of your academia, because that is a limited cycle of your life. It needs to go above and beyond. Your academia and just kind of your intelligence is a mechanism for something bigger. So it is really about doing all of these different things to find the bigger and to find the more. Personally, I would recommend that if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, that's a way that you can definitely explore and experiment. You know, I gotta put it out there. I gotta put out the gospel, because Jesus saves. But also other things that may also bring you joy, whether it be exercise or friends or community, that kind of stuff. Who are the people that you care about? What are the causes that you care about beyond your academics? And I think the last thing I would say is to realize that there is a real world outside of the world of university. So irrespective of what, obviously this is an opportunity for you to set yourself up for, you know, the world after school. I don't know if you want to become, you know, a doctor of academia. If so, then ignore this advice. But even then, it's important. There is life beyond this university institution. And university is not only an opportunity for you to get your degree, but to prepare yourself for life beyond. So you need to start thinking about like, okay, if I do want to get a job beyond university, yes, the grades are important. What experiences can I align myself with that will make sure I'm prepped and primed to deal with the demands of the real world? What are some of the experiences like volunteering, or what are some of the ways that I can understand what life looks like on the other side, just so that you're also prepared, and also that you are grounded and you understand that this isn't everything. It is part of everything, but it's not everything to me. And there's opportunities for me to win and set myself up outside and beyond and above academia. But sis, don't allow this to make you feel insecure about yourself or think that you're stupid or dumb, or affect your self-esteem in the way that you actually think that, oh, maybe my life is completely failing because I'm failing right now. Keywords here, right now. I'm failing right now, but that doesn't have to be your story. So focus on obviously getting your grades up, learning the skill set that enables you to do better in your particular course, and perform better, but also broaden your horizons. Make sure that you are equally investing in the things that bring you joy and happiness, and make sure that you are pursuing experiences and things outside of your academia that will add color, understanding, and realness to what awaits you outside of this experience. That's what I would say, but
I completely agree. I think you've covered it extensively. Similarly, when I got to university, I was used to being a top high achieving student. Got to Cambridge and they were like, listen, all of you are used to being high achieving students. So this is about to be a very leveling out experience for you. You know, it's going to bring you to reality. And I think the point here is you have graduated to a new stage of academic, you know, vigor, you know, like this is a very rigorous process, and it is, you know, a lot more intense. It requires a lot more from you, and it is wholeheartedly a different style of academia. University is nothing like secondary education. And as much as you've been, you know, really applying yourself and pressing hard, you reach the pinnacle of one stage, but you've been brought to the bottom of a mountain now, right? And so now the question is, in this season that you've been brought to in this institution, what is your strategy to climb this mountain that's ahead of you? And it's very normal to feel intimidated, very normal to realize I am just at the beginning. I am a beginner, and there is a lot for me to learn. And so, you know, failure, especially in that first term with those first couple of essays, is very normal. I think the strategy I adopted was, okay, firstly, I'm not even as invested in this academic thing anyway. I'm here for vibes. But more so like, yeah, of course, I cared about my grades. That's what got me to such a great place in the first place. But for me, it was more so about how do I do this strategically? Because I'm not trying to... you know, be here forever, basically. Nice. I want to finish well, but I want to finish.
Yeah.
And so my biggest thing was, one, do I like these courses? Because this could also be an indication that you're not doing the right thing. Mm. So not necessarily the bigger subject you're doing, but maybe the modules you're taking or the specific subject areas you're covering aren't really to your fancy. So I think it's also thinking, do I like these modules? Do I like the parts that are customizable about my degree, if your degree is kind of organized in that way? Have I picked the right things? Because early on for me, I realized there were some courses I had picked where I was like, I don't actually like this.
No for me.
And maybe that's why I'm doing bad. Maybe this is not my style of assessment. Maybe this is not something that even piques my interest enough for me to be as committed to it academically, to do the reading and so on and so forth. And so assess, am I doing the right thing? Is this the area where I can actually shine, or where I even have a desire to apply myself? So make sure that you're positioned in the right place. Then I approached my supervisors and also people in the years above me to be like, you guys got first, you got, you know, your high T1s, let me see your essays, send them to me, so that, like you said, I can figure out what I'm doing wrong or what I can do better. I sat down with them. They became, we had like a parent system within our universities.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have like your college mother or your college father, who kind of, your college parents who kind of watch over you. And my college parents were on my course. And so they were in like second and third year when I was in first year. And they were able to give me so much insight into how they were able to get their first class, how they were able to push through. And it was one of them who told me, you know, you need to stand on the shoulders of giants. Mm. And that was the first time I had heard that phrase, but it's true. There are people who have conquered the level that you are at currently, and so go to them and ask them, what path did they take in order to get, you know, up that mountain? And so sit down. And also, the people who are marking, you know what they are looking for.
They
are very open in telling. This is not like a quiz. Do you get what I mean? Where it's like, I can't tell you the answers. A lot of these things, especially if you do a more humanities-based subject, a lot of these things are just, you know, criteria and certain styles and certain, you know, finesse that we're looking for. And so go and ask them, what are you looking for? And I... having those interactions with my supervisors weekly allowed me to be like, what am I getting wrong here? They were able to walk me through, and asking them, what does an ideal thing look like? As well as, again, asking your peers who are doing well, what is going on, and having that peer-to-peer support. So yeah, strategize, be very strategic in the way that you approach it. But I love that you touched on, your whole identity is not in your academic performance. It's actually okay to have had a moment of failure, but this is something that can be recovered. This is something that you can grow from, as long as you understand where you went wrong and you get a, you really apply yourself to getting a good understanding of how to get better. And that's what will help you suddenly start to climb that mountain one step at a time. But it sounds like you have all of the tools necessary to be a good academic. Don't be thrown off by the fact that it's a different mountain. You just still need the same tools. Yeah. You just need to refine them a little bit, and you need to find the right path to take. It's a bit of a different strategy, but you have the skills, you have the determination, you have the focus, the discipline, and you do have the academic capability. And I can guarantee you, you, no university accepts a student thinking this student will fail. They accept students that they believe can take on the academic challenge. And so they believe you are capable of taking on the academic challenge, and you've, you know, you've come to the acknowledgement that this is a challenge. But you've come this far, and so continue to press on. So hopefully that is helpful for you, and we are wishing you all the best on your academic journey, sis. Like, there are a lot of online resources out there as well around like study tips, revision, and maybe people who went to your exact university and studied your exact same course have put out online resources there to help you navigate things. So definitely look for that as well, but take it one step at a time.
One step at a time.
Yeah, man. All right. If you ever want to send us a dilemma, of course, you can send it to dilemmas@tomysisters.com. Send us an email. Keep it short.
Brief.
We would love to read it. So, into today's actual episode.
Yes, ma'am.
Revisiting this concept of purpose and wanting to be great, you know, wanting to be great and seek out greatness.
Yeah.
Obviously, as I was introing this episode, you talked about how, like, this is really, you know, pertinent for right now.
Yeah.
this season of your life. Why?
It's very pertinent for my life right now because I am going through a season of... what's the word? Refining my identity, shall we say. So I have actually been taking some intentional time away from like everything. So social media, from like, okay, not from like work and stuff. I'm still around, as you guys can see. But have been very strategic about prioritizing having quiet time and still time and private time.
Yeah.
And one thing that I have found in that private time and that still time, it wasn't even just about resting and recuperating and like continuing the race, but actually understanding whether this is the race and the lane that I'm supposed to be in.
Yeah.
Very, very pertinent for me because I resonate strongly with the babe in the dilemma, where as somebody that is often seen by others, both kind of family members, friends, but also folks that may be within my wider community, as somebody that like does well or achieves things or is committed to making an impact in the world, I found myself at a critical juncture where I didn't feel like I owned my identity, right? I felt like I was at the mercy of all of these different opinions and thoughts and ideas of what I should fit into and what I should do. And as somebody that likes to do things and likes to do things well, it felt very foreign and awkward and uncomfortable to me. And I really did feel like this was a time where God was actually doing a work of uprooting my identity in these places and basically saying, actually, I've mapped out a course for you, but you're at a juncture where you need to let go of some of the things that you've been holding on to. It kind of reminds me of when, you know, like babies, they have like an ironclad grip, just holding on to things.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like the baby in this instance where I was holding on to something because I was so used to holding something in my fist, but it wasn't the thing that I should have been holding and I needed to let go.
Word.
So I really have found myself in a period of my life where I actually need to let go of quote unquote the old me that was, well, not necessarily let go, but she needs to grow up and she needs to mature and she needs to understand that purpose and destiny and change making and all of these things, they sound nice, but in order to live out that work, it requires a you being a beginner again in a whole bunch of different areas. So actively having to learn and relearn some of the skills that I thought I was already at the top of my game in, requiring me to go back and inspect what are my motivations for pursuing and doing certain things in my life. Like, I'm the queen of academia, I'm the queen of intelligence, I'm the queen of like reading and thirsting and hungering for knowledge. And it was something that I mentioned very briefly in the last episode, this idea of having lots and lots of knowledge, but do you have the wisdom? But more importantly, do you have the holiness and the sacrifice? And I really feel like this has been a time where like God has been pulling me up on that. Like, are you really holy? Are you really sacrificing? Are you really spending some time away from the limelight so that you can perform in the limelight? I wrote an article very recently where I was talking about the power in hiding away and the power of the private life, right? And I think when you are constantly in a position where you are sharing the transparency of your journey, it can be easy for you to start fabricating things or start living a life that is constructed because you're conscious of the fact that people are following your journey. So then your journey doesn't become transparent or authentic or anything like that. It becomes this just image and the story that you put out for people to consume. And do I really want to be just a person that is consumed, or do I want to be a person that wants to make change? And sometimes making change means stepping back from the limelight and working on yourself intentionally so that when you do show up, you show up with full authority, full power, full grace, but also from the sacrifice of your closet. And another kind of quote that I used within the context of the article was, most actors, we glorify them when we see them on the movie screens. They're like, oh my gosh, you guys are such wonderful actors. But 90% of the work that actors do is behind the screen. They work really, really hard. They refine their craft.
Yeah.
I think of people like Christian Bale, for example. That guy, phenomenal actor. But the processes that he puts himself through in order to show up, insane. Or like a Viola Davis, the amount of work, when I think of The Woman King, for example, the amount of physical work, but also mental work that went into producing the body of work, right? And I think because I got into a cycle of producing, I really needed an extended period of pruning mm. so that I could show up and produce again and again. So yeah, it was a really awkward and quite transparently uncomfortable situation for me. I remember our conversations that we've been having back and forth of me just going like, Courtney, I hate this. Mm. Or like, I am deathly afraid, or I am like nervous mm. because it is also conceding control mm. as well, conceding control to a higher power, but also letting go of all of the laurels, letting go of all of the things that I thought were so pivotal to my identity yeah. and having the boldness to say, actually, no, I'm going to divulge and divest from all of these things. Yeah. So yeah, that's been awkward and uncomfortable. And then I think even relationally as well, as somebody that is all about like optimization and like relationships and making sure that the people around me are cared for and I show up as a good friend mm. or in all of these different capacities, doing quite awkward and uncomfortable work of pulling up trauma that may still be persisting,
right.
still be triggered by. Doing awkward work around the fact that, yeah, I think I'm a good friend, but mm. just because, you know, you're a co-author of a, you know, book about friendship, or just because you're on the Two My Sisters podcast, it's an ongoing work mm. and never getting comfortable in complacency.
Yes.
So yeah, I really felt like I was just going through the motions of like understanding where I've been falling down in a lot of my relationships, which made me feel really like sad actually mm. But also happy because now I have the self-awareness to be working on these things, but also in other relationships, right? So mm. relationships with my parents mm-hmm. thinking about the resentment that I may have had towards my parents that yeah. I haven't actually dealt with was also really hard and tough. And then also reorienting some of these like life goals that I have for myself, like yeah. oh, in 5 years I want to be this, in 10 years I want to be this, but why though? And is it because, you know, you genuinely feel that God has called you to this, you genuinely feel it's going to be impactful, or yeah. is it just in line with what everybody says is impactful? And yeah. it's just in line with what your narrative or your story is meant to be, because it's your destiny and all of these buzzwords that we like to use. So yeah, in a very long-winded fashion, it's been a very awkward, uncomfortable, but necessary season mm-hmm. of pruning. I'm really thinking about my motivations, yeah. my intentions, and making sure that I'm making the sacrifice in my private place so that I can show up in public.
Absolutely. That's really good. Thank you for sharing that. And I definitely resonate with so many of those same sentiments in this season in particular, because I think when you become more aware of what it is you are called to do,
yeah.
you start to realize that, one, I am woefully under-equipped, mate. Right? And I think there are convictions that then rest on your heart as to, well, have I actually, like you said, paid the price for this? And I think you become more aware of the price you actually have to pay mm. and that it's more than just, you know, doing the academic stuff or acquiring all of these skills or this influence, but actually it's the character pruning
right.
and it's the allowing yourself to be really, really close to God, but also finding alignment with him, which is in itself sacrificial, because like you said, it requires you to let go of so many yeah. of the things which you've desired for a long time. And I think the reason why I wanted to have this conversation in particular was because I think a lot of us are having to realize that our ideals may not necessarily be what we've been called to, and that our plans may not necessarily be the purpose that God right. has for us.
Right.
And that can be a very, very hard thing to contend with. And it may be by virtue of getting older and just yeah. realizing the reality of life in general. But I also think it's a result of a lot of us trying to grow in our faith. I think a lot of what I've been seeing recently has showed me that God's really doing such an amazing work in people's hearts to try and draw them closer to him,
absolutely.
Which I think is so, so beautiful. But like you described, and like I've been realizing in this season of my life as well, the closer you get to God, the more you realize there are things that you need to let go of, and the right. more you need to be purified of in the pursuit of holiness, right? In order to be, you know, have clean hands and a clean heart, mm-hmm. you actually need to really do that washing and allow God to do that washing
yeah.
of you, and purifying your intentions, purifying your motives. And I think it's a beautiful thing, but it's extremely painful,
very painful
and extremely hard. And so in trying to find alignment with God, how do you think contending with this idea and this conceptualizing of purpose
yeah.
plays into that, right? Because ultimately we are trying to do things which are our purpose, trying right. to do very noble things, which is serve community, yeah. be change makers, be a leader, mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. Bring to manifestation the ideas that we, the creative and professional ideas that mm-hmm. we have that we think will make the world a better place. So it's all stemming from the right place, good intentions.
Yeah.
However, in trying to find alignment with God's purposes for you and God's intention for your life, sometimes there can be a need to confront what you believe purpose to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, what are your thoughts on having to reassess your definition of this concept of purpose?
That's a brilliant question. And just to pick up on what you were saying around good intentions, child, the way to hell
is paved
with good intentions. Everybody had
completely
good intentions,
littered with it.
Listen, everybody had good intentions some way or the other, yeah. but not all of us end up in heaven.
And ultimately that's the pursuit, right? That's actually the, and I think that's kind of an implicit thing of this conversation, mm-hmm. which is above getting people's applause, you kind of want God to be happy with
exactly.
you more than anything. I think one of the things I've held so closely to my heart throughout my whole life since I became a Christian at like in the first year of uni, yeah. actually, was live for the audience of one.
Yeah.
And like, if God is happy with your performance, then that's fine. But I think purpose makes you confront whose applause are you living
exactly.
for, kind of thing. But yeah.
That does make me laugh though, because I feel like sometimes people deploy that so incorrectly.
How
and it's
so?
Like, oh, you know, living for the applause of one and not the many. And that some of the things that they do are just absolutely wild. I get that you are living for the audience of one, but child, you are just not a great person to be around.
No, but then exactly, it's an incorrect deployment, because the person who you're saying is the only one in the audience is also not happy.
He's also
so
looking at you.
Where
like,
do we go from there?
It's like those people that get those tattoos of like, only God
can
judge
me.
Me.
Oh, and he will.
He's gonna be looking at you funny.
And he will.
He's gonna be looking at you funny, like you shouldn't have gotten the tattoo. But yeah, no, just reconceptualizing purpose, getting closer to God. I think the money is right there, right? Getting closer to God and understanding what God's purpose is for me and my life. I think the problem with like life right now and our generation yeah. and culture is we have idolized this idea of individualistic purpose.
Yeah.
This idea that we are to be the generational curse breakers, that we are to be the change makers, yeah. that we are to be the people that rise up amidst all of the evil, to see revival, to see change, to see all these big puffed up words that we use. And I think as much as purpose is important, I think sometimes we use it as proxy for our self-esteem and as proxy for, and not even just proxy, distraction for what we actually should be doing, which is living out every single day in alignment with God. Sometimes we can be so focused on the future, this purpose, this grandeur, this delusion that we've yeah. created for ourselves, that we forget that purpose is also lived daily.
Yeah.
Purpose is something that, you know, and this whole idea of will, right? God's will. There's purpose and God's purposes, but there's also God's will. And I think sometimes we can also, at least for me, I can overcomplicate things yeah. so much, because I definitely have overthinking tendencies. I am somebody that just loves to think. I love knowledge. Mm. I love this idea of getting to the roots mm. and getting conviction and clarity and all these kind of things. I can become even obsessive in those areas. And I think I have definitely fallen victim to this idea of pursuing purpose, chasing mm. purpose at the detriment of living out every single day intentionally.
Right.
So I think like one of the biggest snares of the purpose-driven person right now, according to the world, is that we forget to pay attention to our daily purpose, or yeah. at least our daily intentionality in living out our life as pleasing to God. We often wait until the fulfillment of some of these arbitrary things that we align or suggest are indicative of us fulfilling that purpose, right? We say that, oh, I haven't fulfilled my purpose until I've got X amount of money in
yeah,
the bank, or
yeah.
we start to come up with all of these metrics which should demonstrate that we are living in purpose, right? And unfortunately for a lot of us, the demonstration of purpose looks like worldly possessions. It looks like getting the car. It looks like getting the house. It looks like getting the relationship.
Yeah.
And the closer you get to God, you realize that God is more concerned with the intangible than the tangible things. And then it means that you have to get rid of how and the extent to which you are willing to get rid of the tangible yes. things in the pursuit of the intangible. Right. Because oftentimes the tangible.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Things come when you focus on the intangible, and sometimes they actually don't.
Yes.
So yeah, doing a lot of work around what is it that I actually value, yes, and what do I consider a fruit of me fulfilling my purpose has been tough, because I'm not going to lie to you, I desire nice things, yeah, and I also desire worldly things. Yeah. Who doesn't want the relationship with a nice, handsome man that actually loves me? Of course, I want to be with somebody that loves me.
I don't think that's a worldly cute thing.
Not necessarily a worldly thing, but it can get worldly real quick, especially when it becomes an idol, right? Yeah. It can become very, very vain real quick. Or, you know, I do desire, you know, having a nice house with my kids and stuff like that. It's really, really great. However, when I become so focused on my purpose in fulfillment of these like very arbitrary things, then I can neglect the things that are actually important to God.
Yeah.
So for me, purpose has really, it's been a journey of reprioritization, right? What do I hold as a priority? Is it really seeking the kingdom? Is it really seeking God? Is it really rooting my identity in my faith and in my relationship?
Yeah.
Or is it in the pursuit of a lot of these things or a lot of these fruit without like first investing in the tree? So that's been a tough one for me. And it's like, at the end of the day, are you willing to let go of some of these things that you want, you're currently pursuing?
Yeah.
And it was tough because some of them I was like, yeah, I'm willing to let them go. But you know, the ones where you're trying to take a bear from like a toddler and they're like, could you lighten
or
up?
Or you want to take a bit of it with you.
Let me take just a little bit of it with me. Like, let me just, okay, God, you can take the house. But could you just leave
me
car
with this?
Or like, God, you can take, okay, you said that you want to get married or ETC. It's like, God, like, yeah, bring me a man. It's like, okay, God, you can take all of the like guys that say they're not Christian, but can you leave this one who's a little bit problematic, but I kind of like, but he kind of says that he's a Christian. He kind of, you know, goes to church and stuff like that. Just leave me with a little bit of my like worldliness and my evil. Do you know what I mean?
That kind
of thing. And the issue with that is you will never get to a stage of purification or this high value in the Lord, right? When you think of the process of refining gold, you need to heat it up so hot that all of the impurities go. And the more pure, the more pure that gold becomes, the more valuable it becomes as well, right? Some of us are going through that process, and I am definitely still going through that process of going through very intense heat and fire to get rid of those impurities. But it's difficult because, remember, a lot of these impurities have actually become amalgamated in my form. So it's not even just getting rid of the impurities, it is removing something that's been a part of my form for so long. So that's been tough in the pursuit of purpose because I didn't realize that a lot of these impurities had become a part of me now. And it hurts to remove those things. It hurts to remove something that you've cleaven onto and you've enjoyed, right? That you've enjoyed partaking in. It's kind of like when you've been in a toxic relationship with like an F buddy and it's like, oh, I'm trying to focus on myself and move forward. This is not me, by the way. I don't have any F buddies, please. Nobody can come and shame me on this internet to say such nonsense, but I'm using it as an example. But yeah, you're trying to pursue something a little bit more long term, a little bit more committed, but you're still engaging with somebody in that way. It's like the two things cannot exist at the same time. If you want to pursue one, you have to let go of the other. So yeah, that was also another lesson around purpose that I had to learn. I can't pursue two things like this that are fundamentally opposed to each other. And it says it in the Bible, right? You can't serve two masters. And I think it was the embarrassment and the shame of realizing that I was serving two masters. Because sometimes it's not as obvious as like, oh, you know, I am serving a different God to Jesus. It's not as, you know, I'm doing new age practices and then serving Jesus. It can be as subtle as, I really, 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 really want to get married, Lord, and I will do everything in my power to make it happen. Yeah. Or I really, really want to pursue this degree, and I'll do everything in my power to make it happen. And then God is looking at you like, your power?
Where am I in this story?
Where am I in this story? And then the last thing I'll say, because I've nutted on.
No, is it's been really insightful. Go on.
This whole idea of God bless the work of my hands when you haven't brought him into the journey.
Come on.
So I'm here pursuing purpose. I've written down my vision list of arbitrary things that I want that indicate to me that I'm fulfilling purpose. And I'm like, God bless this.
Yeah.
And God is looking at me like, you've come to me with a bucket list. Mm. Do you think that this is KFC? Just a bucket of chicken. Just here. Can I get a thigh? Can I get a leg? Can I get this? And KFC is looking at me like, the Lord of KFC is looking at me like, baby, we ain't got that.
Or like, we don't even do that.
You know when you go to, I love me my Caribbeans. I love you guys. But you know sometimes you go to the Caribbean shop, especially the Jamaican shop, and you're like, can I get, me not have that.
Literally.
I don't have that.
For real.
And God has been looking at me like, you can have that, but I don't have that for you right now. Because you are so focused on acquiring that, that you're not acquiring time with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's been tough. Like actually, not just asking God to bless the products, but to also bring him into the process.
I love that. So insightful and so wise.
Man, it's hard.
But yeah, it's CDB. Really, really hard.
You know,
it's uncomfortable.
It's Tifa type, but also beautiful.
Yes, yes.
A process.
Exactly. And I think it's that, right? It's accepting that purification only brings more beautiful things, right? It only makes things more beautiful. And it's not a punishment. Either. I think sometimes we see it as like, God, you're being harsh with me, you're being strict with me. Why do I have to get rid of all the stuff? Like, what about this person and that person? It's like, baby, I've called you. I'm preparing you for something. This is a preparation, right? And there is a law of preparation and a law of process that we cannot avoid if you're trying to attain what God has for you. Now, if you want to stay here, if you want to have what you want to have, you can have it because you can make it happen in your power. You can have it, right? But will it bring the heavenly blessing you desire? Mm. And oftentimes the answer is no, because if God's not in it, then you don't get the peace of that presence, right? Everything that you build for yourself, you have to sustain by yourself. If you start it with your power, you have to keep it with your power. And that is very tiring, very, very tiring. And I think this kind of understanding that like what God has is better.
Yeah.
It's not that God lacks. It's not that he's unable. It's like with the analogy you said, like, Mina Avdat. It's like, it's not because you lack. It's not because, no. And I think sometimes we have to reframe. And I've been doing a lot in this season of my life about relearning or unlearning some of the things I believe about God's nature,
right,
and his personhood, because I've done a lot of work around self-awareness. I know a lot about me, but then I forget that not only does God know about me, I don't know about him. So actually learning more about who he actually is, especially through the lens of his word, but realizing that God's denial of my request is not because he's insufficient, but because he has better, right? And he has different, and his desires for me are actually better than my own, even though it may not look like the worldly things which I desire, right? And I think it's realizing, you, as you so perfectly described, you cannot have worldly metrics for heavenly pursuits. It doesn't work that way. God has to be the one that tells you, yes, this is right, and no, this is wrong. But I think that makes you confront a very big thing, which our generation is confronting, I think, on a mass level, which is vanity. Is vanity. And I love that you brought that up, because we have become vain, right? In a world that offers so much material things, as a result of capitalism, as a result of greed, as a result of this instant technological age where things are rapidly evolving, we can easily become vain. We live in a visual culture as well. We live in the culture of rampant sexuality. And it's like, you know, I can see this and want this and have that. And it's like, all of this is vanity.
Ridiculous.
All of this is vanity. And I think if you want to really be aligned with God, you have to confront your vanity, because God doesn't look at the outer things. Like you said, he looks at the heart. But also, beauty and vanity is so fleeting. Yeah. It will fade, right? And I think we have to also realize that. And it's something that I say continuously, but I've said it in a past episode, which is like, God reveals to you that your idols are insufficient gods, like vanity, the things that you've put your love in and your affections in. When they fade, you're going to be so disappointed.
Honestly.
Right? When that new car you've been saving up to buy is no longer the it car, you're going to realize this thing which I so cherished actually holds no power anymore. All this makeup I've been buying and all these things I've been doing to change my body and all these clothes and this wardrobe, and when those clothes go out of fashion, you're going to realize that your God, the one you loved and the one you put your affection in and sacrifice for, no longer holds any power. And that's disappointing. That's extremely disappointing. Extremely disappointing. And I think I really love what you said about impurities being so embedded in us, because it's so true. I think the more we become affectionate with the things that we love, even the worldly things that we love, the harder it is to untangle ourselves from that. The harder it is to say goodbye and close that door, because it's so deeply embedded in us and it has become a part of our identity. And I think this whole confronting purpose thing really is confronting identity and where the roots of your identity are planted. A lot of our identity is planted in our performance and in our ability to do X, Y, Z, even the dilemma and our past experiences of being high performance and multifaceted babes. It's like, you know, you do this so well and everyone is applauding you, everyone is championing you, and that becomes who you are. I am the person who does XYZ super well. And it's like, no, you're not, because not only do you have the capacity to fail, even if you don't fail, it's not these things which are upholding you, right? It's not these things, this is not all that you were created to be. And I think seeing ourselves as so much more than what we do is the real move that we all need to make, right? I'm not just, and I think it's a huge result of capitalism. It's a whole, like, this industrial revolution, which is like produce, and it's like, but you're not just your purpose is not just about production, it's not just about output, it's also just your being that matters as well, right? And us really cherishing people for their being and ourselves for just being and not just doing, you know. I think that's a challenging thing. Really challenging thing, detaching your identity from what you do, especially when you receive your applause from it. But like you said, like, purification only produces something which is much better. But the last thing I'll say, I love that you touched on the fact that purification changes your form. I think what we're all going through right now is a radical shifting in who we are, and we have to allow ourselves to change, right? You can't be so held on to, you cannot be holding so tightly onto who you think you are and think who you think you have to be as well, in the lens of other people and in the lens of the world and in the view of your own plans, that you are refusing to enter the fire because you don't want your form to change. And it's like, well, do you want to become more beautiful in spirit or not?
Comes with the territory.
It comes with the territory. If you want the impurities to come out, the form has to change, right? Anything that enters the fire never comes out the same. It melts, it glows, it shatters sometimes in order for all of these impurities to come out, but it's used for better things. And remembering that, like, God is so trustworthy that we can go into the fire, know that he stands in the fire with us, but also when he brings us out, he molds us into something that is so pleasurable and so good for us and for him.
Exactly.
Right? Then how do you find that alignment with God's plan? I was speaking at an event over the weekend. The weeks are just flying by.
Oh, it's like, ridiculous. Was it this weekend or last week?
I was speaking at an event over the weekend. I got that question about, like, how do you find your purpose? How do you find, you know, and we often give that thing of, oh, you need to be aligned with God's will. And it's like, okay, now that I'm understanding that aligning with God's will is more important than me making plans for myself, how do I get aligned, right? So that's the question I put to you.
Yeah, I put it to you. One thing that was on my mind first, though, when you were speaking, actually, is also this idea of, like, individualism. I think that has contributed so much to the fact that we are often stuck in this image of what people put upon us, because we are so individualistic in our thinking, we're often thinking about our individual purpose, yes, as opposed to corporate vision.
Yeah.
So how do we actually align ourselves? Because when people ask the question of like, what's my purpose, they're often thinking of just themselves working or themselves doing something. And oftentimes our purpose or our destiny or what we've been called to do is very much linked to the people around us.
Yeah.
How are we serving people, serving communities? How are we part of the body?
Yeah,
right?
To like, be a function.
To be a function, body. Right. And I think there are far too many of us that are asking, what is my purpose with the intention of being the head? When in some instances, sis, you gotta be a leg.
Yeah.
So that was on my mind as you were speaking about kind of, yeah, capitalism, yeah, and the individualistic pursuit of purpose.
Yeah.
But in terms of finding alignment with God and God's will, I think that in of itself is also overcomplicated. I think it is a very simple thing to align yourself to God's will. God has scriptures for a reason. And he instructs us to search for him in his scriptures. So I think number one is actually finding or even making intentional time for this pursuit.
Yeah.
I think it's something that we've been discussing back and forth, but this idea of us constantly being busybodies.
Yeah.
And how unnatural, you put it so beautifully last time when we were speaking, how unnatural it is for us to constantly be in this state of busyness, this state of hyperactivity, this state of wanting to be entertained.
Overstimulated.
I finally started, I'm on like day three now. Oh my God, day two, whatever. Of what do you call it? Jackie Hill Perry's
devotional. Well done, Upon Waking.
And she wrote a really like poignant passage on the importance of boredom.
Yeah.
The importance of finding stillness and quiet. Because there are so many ever-present distractions, it often feels like, oh my gosh, like spending time with God or like spending time trying to figure out who
it's
I want to
so
be.
Boring.
It's so boring. It's so inconvenient. It is. Yes.
And I think that's the thing, so many people want to make it seem like, well, this is how you can make it fun. God doesn't need all that.
No.
Accept the boredom. Embrace it.
Child, capitalism has entered as well.
Facts.
Because it's like, oh, I need to make sure that I have this Bible from this particular person and then these highlighters and I need to romanticize. Sometimes don't romanticize. Don't. Just do.
Facts.
Just sit in the water.
Do the hard and the boring thing.
Just
the
go.
Mundane thing.
I remember like when I was very early on in like my Christian journey and I was like, oh, I really got everything. You know, when you're a new baby Christian, everything is just wonderful. Like, oh, I can feel God speaking, shouting, all that kind of stuff. I didn't have to do all of this 10-point plan. I didn't have to do all of this. How do I fit God into my day? It was just, oh, God, I wake up. I want to serve you. And I remember one of the things that I did and I still do is I just go for a walk. So I prioritize time to read the scriptures and understand more about God, God's nature, seeing how God has meted out his will over time as well, right? Because I think there's even a, like when we read our Bible or when we make time to do the whole like Bible study and stuff like that, we often read from somebody else's perspective or we have frameworks in place. And I'm not discouraging you from having theological backgrounds when you are reading or listening to stuff, but you need to study the scriptures for yourself to be aligned. So it doesn't look like just listening to sermons from random pastors that you found on the internet or people that kind of speak things that are pleasing to you, because sometimes God's will is actually going to displease you. It's actually going to make you feel uncomfortable. Ah, do you know the amount of times I've read that Bible and I've seen things that God has said? I'm like,
things that God has said, things that God has done.
I don't like it.
It's like, this is uncomfortable.
It's going to be an uncomfortable process.
Because it disrupts the image you've painted.
God is not just a buddy that every, or like a pet, where every now and again you can interact with him.
He's,
I think,
God.
In terms of to bring something into alignment, the level of movement that is required, like I think of a massive like melting pot or like a chemical reaction. When you are trying to move, or like motors, right? Yeah. The movement that's required, the friction, the force that is required. It's understanding that God isn't an addition to your life. He is the force behind your life. So that means prioritization. That means reoriented everything else that you do around God. It's as simple as that, but we overcomplicate it because we don't want to do it.
Exactly.
So we need to address, okay, I don't want to do this. Why? Am I idolizing entertainment? Yeah. Am I seeing God as a pet? Do I actually have a revelation of God's personality in my life? What is preventing me from orienting my whole life around the person I profess to be Lord of Lords. That's what you need to deal with. It's usually never a, oh, I'm finding it so tricky and like it's difficult to the alignment. I'm not having a understanding. I'm not having a calling. I used to joke around with Courtney. I still do, where sometimes you want God to just tell you what to do and give you a 10-step yeah. blueprint and speak to you directly in that deep voice. Like, yeah. you know,
this is God.
This is God, by the way.
One like, step one, step
you
two.
You should do this. Wake up at 2 right a.m. now. You know, like those, some of the prophets that you'll see on YouTube, and God said to me, yeah. he said it like this. I should wake up at 2 p.m. and yeah. I should be doing this and that. And this is God, by the way. Sometimes it's the small still voice.
Yep.
Sometimes it's the inclination. Yep. Sometimes it's the deep knowledge in your heart that what you're doing is wrong
yeah.
and that, you know, God wants to spend more time with you. So find those moments, prioritize, in fact, not even find, because you know you can find it. Yeah. Prioritize those moments of stillness. Prioritize those moments of study.
Mm-hmm.
Prioritize mm-hmm. those moments to sit mm. with the scriptures. Sweet. And I promise you will come into alignment with God's word. His word is... it's readable. It's simple. Some of those stories are outlandish. Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
But there is a legacy. There are scriptures for a reason. Yeah. And I think sometimes we will do everything but pursue God. We yeah. will do everything. We will look for him in preachers and pastors. We will look for him in devotionals are great, but they're also additions. We will look for him in things that make us feel comfortable. We'll play our gospel playlist very, yeah. very loud and we'll sink into the atmosphere of worship. Sometimes alignment requires discipline
yeah.
and it requires study
yeah.
and it requires a principled approach to anchoring your life in God. You know, absolutely. When you throw an anchor, that the boat is moving.
Yeah.
A lot of us just need to throw the anchor out and stop.
Yeah.
That's and what I would okay say. That was that. Oh, and as somebody that is a busybody, somebody that is constantly productivity, get yeah. things done, like God wants me to move. Sometimes God wants you to sit.
Stop. But that's, and I think it's not even sometimes, it's all the time. It's actually embracing a slower life, because our world has pushed us facts. To be more productive, do more. Now we're spending so much time learning about and obsessing about how we can become more productive and how we can become hyper productive that we feel guilty for times of rest. We feel guilty for taking a day off. We feel guilty for saying, I'm going to spend an extended amount of time searching and pursuing God. And it requires time. Mm. And I think a lot more of us are willing to give over money than we are time. I will serve and do this and I'll do it, but I won't give you my time, because my time is how I get all these things. And I think a lot of us need to pay more attention to just being obedient to God's word. I think if you feel like you're out of alignment with God, one, do you know what God wants?
Yeah.
Where is he walking? what do his steps look like? Yeah. What path has he walked? And then putting yourself beside that and being like, okay, cool, I'm going to step like how you stepped and go at the pace that you went. Yeah. But you won't know that unless you read about God's pace and God's direction and God's path. So absolutely. I love that you emphasize getting to the scriptures. I have been guilty of it. And a lot of times when I speak to people who are asking me, like, how do I spiritually mature? How do I grow? It's like, you ask them, what do you do to intentionally point to your spiritual growth? I listen to the sermons. I read all these books. And it's like, okay, you're living off of other people's wisdom. And the thing about that is it's not bad. But yep. when food has been chewed by someone else,
right.
they have taken the nutrients from it. And what they regurgitate is often nutrient deficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so whilst it can give you a bit, it is the leftovers.
Mm.
You are getting some form of it, but it's already been digested in a way which is specific to them. They've taken what they needed.
Right.
That pursuit of the word that preacher did, right? They did their Bible study. They came up with their sermon notes. Firstly, they've already condensed something out of it that is specific to the season of their life they're in.
Yep.
And whilst you can still be blessed by that, God also wants you to come to the source, because the source is what has the nutrients, right? So if you really want to know God and if you really want to grow, you need vitamins, you need minerals, you need nutrients.
Yeah.
You must go to the most nutrient rich things, which is the unfiltered word, right?
Yeah.
And so when you go to God's word, it can be, like you said, hard, but I think this year we're learning we must be committed to doing hard things. It takes time. It's not just a storybook. There's all this language and we're like, how do I do it? But this is where you can lean on resources that help you to get a better understanding of how to process God's word for yourself.
Mm.
And it brings you to a level of maturity. Having to be able to digest your own food is an indication indication that you are maturing.
Yeah.
You are growing up, that you can no longer get nutrients from your mother's milk. You must go and chew the meat yourself.
Yeah.
And so develop your teeth. And talking about teeth, the analogy that came to my mind was Invisalign.
Oh,
if you want to be aligned with God, you have to wear your retainer.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's had Invisalign always tells you, I've had braces before.
I forgot you had braces.
Yeah, when I was 11.
Wow.
Yeah, I had braces just for a year, just to close my gap. I had a gap in my teeth.
Wow.
I used to, yeah.
Oh, memories.
They always tell you Invisalign is painful.
Mm.
Invisalign is, they're always talking about how Invisalign is painful. And I remember when I used to go and get my braces tightened, that day was a dreaded day. It's always so painful.
Yeah.
To bring things into alignment
brings pain. Yeah.
It actually brings pain, but it requires consistency. Mm-hmm. If you don't wear your retainer, if you don't wear your mold, it's not going to happen. Mm. If you're avoiding the pain, the alignment won't happen. So you have to embrace the pain. But also, what do the Invisalign retainers do? They change the way you speak.
Yeah.
You actually sound different. People can tell you're wearing your retainers, yeah, aren't you? Literally, you have to be prepared for yourself to change. If you want to come into alignment, people will start to perceive there is a change about, mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm. And the change and the process that you're going through is uncomfortable. Sometimes it will require you just speaking less, because speaking is so painful. And I think we've even been talking about how this refining season that we're going through, this period of intentionally trying to get in alignment with God, has required so much time of silence and quietness,
which
often the busyness of life and the overstimulation of things like social media does not afford us.
Absolutely.
Our lives are constantly filled with noise. You're listening to this podcast, noise. And I was talking about this in our last conversation, right?
Yep.
That, like, I constantly feel like my head is noisy, and I have to do the intentional things of, like, quietening my mind, mm-hmm, quietening, mm-hmm, my spirit.
Necessary.
And so, kind of taking these meditative practices of, like, just be quiet, just be silent, just be still for
on,
a
man.
Second, right? Just, you're going to catch up with me. I'm not going to shout. God is not going to change. Unless you're really, like, you're near the fire, I'm not going to change my nature of how I speak because you don't want to stop and listen to me. It's on you to stop and listen to me.
Yeah.
I've told you how I speak, right? It's like knowing your parents. My parents speak like this. The only time they're really going to raise their voice is, one, they're very angry, or two, it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
If, when it comes to maturity, when you've learned a certain degree of God, you find yourself rarely in places of emergency or being told off,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to hear that still small voice that's telling you, you're walking in a direction that looks right, but you're about one degree off. And the longer this goes, the further away from alignment you're going to actually get. But that requires a deep level of self-awareness and a deep level of quieting and an intentional drawing close to God to hear that. And I think we need to become more intentional in doing our part. Obviously, we're post-Easter. Some of you may have forgotten the Easter message. Some of you may not.
But some of you may not have even heard it in the first place.
And I would implore you to be encouraged by, like, God came close to us. He's close. He's torn that veil so that we can have, like, intimate one-to-one relationship with him. And he's worth us going to be like, hey, let's sit. And I think a lot of people are scared because they're like, what if he doesn't answer? Mm. It's not in his nature.
It's not.
I can guarantee you his word says those who seek will find,
right?
Those who knock, the door will be open to them.
Mm.
He is actually a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? So it requires the diligence. God is not going to leave you hanging when you do your part.
Absolutely.
It's a lie to believe that God won't give you what he said he will.
Yeah.
He's not a liar like that.
Satan is a liar.
Satan is a big one.
And I think I was going to say, just piggybacking off that point, that's such a British thing to do. But I think part of the reason why a lot of us, and I can speak for myself as well, have idolized this idea of pursuing purpose is because of the clarity and the safety that we find in creating this map, right?
Mm.
It is having more faith in this end destination than in the journey and the process. And I think as somebody that has experienced, you know, anxiety, I am definitely the kind of person that likes to know what they're doing, when they're doing, and having the control. I think there is something about yielding control even when you don't have things figured out. I think sometimes purpose and the pursuit of purpose can be this grand enterprise of you having control over your life and how it looks and what happens and what is the end destination. And I think for those of us who have been in positions where we have been disempowered or where we have been traumatized or we have been unsafe, we can be even more victims to the pursuit of purpose and the promise of purpose rather than the promise of Jesus or the promise of God, because we need that stability and we need that care. And we're simply just misplacing that relationship and that stability and where we get our sense of validation and happiness from in the actual map and vision of our life and our plan. Exactly, the control. I, trust me, I can tell you I'm a control freak.
Same. Recovering.
Recovering. Yeah, we're recovery. We're in recovery.
Yeah.
But it's just this idea of having to yield. As much as people will go and say, oh, submit your life, submission. Yeah. And it's even harder when the examples of submission that you have seen
have been perverted, perverse.
You have seen where people have yielded their power and they have become targets or victims or disempowered. So for me, it even manifested as this desire to hold on to power rather than relinquish it. When, you know, one of the first things that God requests of us when we come to his feet is to submit, is to let go, is to relinquish. So I think one of the, funnily enough, one of the most powerful things in this journey for me right now is relinquishing the end goal and actually relinquishing, okay, what does this actually look like to have plans. My 10-step map for my next 20 years of my life. I have things and I'll submit them to the Lord in all prayer and supplication. But if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to die. Well, and the thing is, if I do die, I know where I'm going.
Facts. And I think the, to kind of like crown it off, I think the ultimate thing here, and the, it's funny that you mentioned submission, because this week I was thinking about the first sermon I ever gave.
Check you out.
Which was on submission, which was literally on this concept of submission and how when you've seen submission abused, it is hard to submit to God. And I think my encouragement, because I've similarly been there, where it's like, God, I want to hold the control because I don't know if I can trust you. My encouragement to anyone is God is trustworthy. When you read about him, his nature, and how he has continually showed up for his children through his word. Like, it's not even just your own testimony, because I'm sure if you look through your life, you'll see that God has been trustworthy and he's carried you. But even if you don't have that testimony that you can identify, when you go to his word, there are people literally testifying of the trustworthiness of God, that he's faithful, and that faithfulness and the fact that he cares for you in such a grand and sacrificial way proves to you he is trustworthy. Always. And we sing that song, you are worthy of it all, you're worthy, but we don't believe he's trustworthy. You're not worthy of my trust, you know. And it's like, I'll happily give you a sacrifice, but I won't give you my obedience, because obedience will require the patience and the trust that you'll come through. And that the submission of my own desires and my own ideals requires me to think, if I give you this, will you give me something back? Will you actually do what you said? And I think that's why you need to jump into your word, because God consistently proves, I do what I say.
He's got receipts, man.
I do what I say, and I mean it when I say it, and he's trustworthy. So as you pursue him, as you pursue growing in your faith, as you pursue aligning yourself with God, believe that he's worth it.
He'll
and believe
up.
That he's turning up all the time.
Yeah,
he really is. He's waiting, man.
Waiting for you.
Yup. Well, sisters, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. We hope that it helps you to rethink what you've been planning, rethink the purpose of your life. I know it could actually create existential dread.
There you go.
We have an episode on that.
I was about to say, don't worry, we got something for that too.
We have an episode on that. So hopefully this will be a beautiful journey for you. We just hope that God really goes, shows you that he's on this journey with you, right? Do this journey with him, but do this journey in community as well. Find some sisters, some friends, some community you can have these hard conversations with, and be honest about where your heart is at. So go forth and have an amazing week. Please follow us on socials. You can join the sisterhood, follow us at To My Sisterhood. You can follow us individually, my lovely sis who blessed us with her vulnerability, at Renee Kapuku, and me at CD Boating. And you can also join the mailing list, tomysisters.com.
Be wise. If you are looking for your purpose, I can assure you, you probably won't find it in our mailing list, but you will find a whole bunch of really exciting and interesting things in our mailing list still. So make sure you sign up over at www.tomysisters.com. And in the meantime, sisters, we love you. Go forth, do great exploits, but also stay close to God.
Praying for you. Keep glowing and growing.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.